The Taliban's decision to surrender Kandahar leaves Afghanistan closer to peace, though it may be an uneasy peace in a country that's been at war for decades. NPR's Steve Inskeep reports from the Afghan city of Mazar-e-Sharif.
It's the liveliest city in northern Afghanistan, yet by 5 o'clock, shopkeepers are slamming down their steel gates on another day. Music stores and electronic shops close. Street vendors disappear from the stalls where they were selling hot bread minutes before. One reason the city shuts down is the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. Everybody's rushing home to break the daily fast. But another reason is darkness. Mazar-e-Sharif has no street lights, and camera store owner Ahmad Shafei says he doesn't want to be outside after sunset. The city just changed hands a few weeks ago, he says, and you can feel it on the street. Many people have guns, and at night you can't tell what faction or what party they represent. Next door, pharmacy owner Syed Farid stops a moment after pulling down his own gate. It seems like this country has more guns than people, he says, and rushes home. A Northern Alliance army defeated the Taliban in this region, but has not yet made the populace feel entirely secure. Four major ethnic groups live in this area, and they have a history of killing each other. Outside of the city, Northern Alliance soldiers have been moving through the ancient town of Balkh. Their pickup trucks roll past the horse-drawn wagons of the locals. This town has a heavy population of ethnic Pashtuns who provided major support for the Taliban. At least some Taliban soldiers have retreated here after defeats elsewhere. Now, the Northern Alliance is trying to confiscate the Pashtuns' weapons, but the Pashtuns have resisted. Muhammad Yonas is a local Pashtun doctor. We're worried, he says, because we might be blamed for what the Taliban did to other ethnic groups when they took power. He's referring to what happened in 1998. That's when the Pashtun-dominated Taliban movement captured this area. They attacked the members of other ethnic and religious groups. Among others, the Taliban targeted a group of Shiite Muslims known as Hazaras.
By the time Taliban occupied here, two of my brothers, they have been arrested by them, by Taliban. And they are still lost.
Mohammad Rauf Mehdi is a student at the university here. He's also a Hazara. When the Taliban arrived in 1998, he fled with his two brothers to a friend's house.
They were together with me, but it was broadcasted to him, I mean, on radio, that if the family keeps any of Hazara people, the family will also be punished by Taliban. So we thought ourselves, and we got the decision not to be the disturbance for the others, and we came out of the house.
His brothers rode back to their home on bicycles. Mohammed says he followed on foot, and by the time he arrived home, his brothers had already been arrested. He never saw them again and still doesn't know what happened to them. Many people in Mazar-e-Sharif tell stories like this. But now the Hazaras are helping to run the place, and that is stirring fears that they might seek revenge. Northern Alliance officials insist they've been trying to avoid ethnic conflict here. Mohammed Sadara Sadi is a Hazara commander. Before we captured Mazar-e-Sharif, he says, we pledged not to take reprisals against any ethnic group. Saidi says the defeated Pashtuns have nothing to fear, and he insists that the Hazaras themselves no longer have to worry about being attacked. And again, just in case, they've taken some precautions. The leading local Hazara commander has surrounded his new headquarters building with armed guards. The guards have strung up barbed wire to block off the street, and they search every visitor who enters the compound. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Mazar-e-Sharif, Afghanistan.